through Psalm 22, 23, 24, and now we will start on Psalm 25. I don't know if we'll get all the way through it. We're going to look at the first seven verses this evening. And this is a prayer that David penned here, that he actually said, but it's penned down here for us. And basically, that's just what it is. It's just a prayer. And the title of the message this evening is Prayer in Times of Trouble. Prayer in Times of Trouble. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've given to us. We thank you for blessing us and watching over us, Lord. We pray that you would help us this evening to get something from your word. I pray that your Holy Spirit would teach us and lead us and guide us into what you would have for us tonight. Lord, I can't change hearts myself. I can't open hearts, Lord, but I know that you can. And we are dependent upon you to do so. I pray that you do that this evening, Father, and that you'd help me to speak and help us to have open ears and open hearts to receive your word. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to read the first seven verses of Psalm 25, and like I said, it's just a prayer that David prays here, and he's in trouble again, as is the usual thing for David. I don't know exactly what kind of trouble it is, but it is some kind of trouble. It says in Psalm 25, verse number 1, "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor the transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord." So there David is praying, and it looks like he's in trouble with some enemies or someone is after him, but that's not the only thing. There is the fact that he has done something wrong or something wrong in his youth. He says in verse number 7, "Please don't remember the sins of my youth and my transgressions." So there's something going on in David's life, and he's appealing to God and he's praying to God, and he wants mercy for those things. Well, I have good news this evening and I have bad news for you tonight. First, the bad news. We live in a broken world. We live in a world that is sin-cursed, where troubles and trials and evil are all around us. You can't deny that. You can't deny that there is evil and trouble in the world. I wish that the world was a perfect place. I wish that things were just perfect. You never had any trouble in this world, but there is trouble in the world. And in this life, we're going to have disappointments. There's going to be failures. There's going to be all of those things. Even if you're a Christian, even if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, those things are coming. And it was no different for David in his day. I mean, the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart, but yet he had so many troubles in his life. He failed many times in his life. Now, I wish I could say this evening that David never did anything wrong and that you and I are never going to do anything wrong, but that would not be living in reality. That is not reality, and we want to be truthful here this evening. Now, David let God down, he let himself down, he let his family down, and he let his kingdom down. And you know all about the adulterous affair that David had with Bathsheba, and he had her husband Uriah killed and then took Bathsheba for himself. That's a terrible thing. He let God down when he did that. He let his country down when he did that. He let himself down when he did that. I mean, that's a bad thing, but it's a reality that happened in David's life. I mean, I wish that it never would have happened, but it did happen. He had lack of faith in God at one point. I mean, he didn't trust God to win the battle for him, and he counted his army, and he put faith in his army instead of God, and it cost a lot of lives there. There was lack of faith. I mean, he let people down. That is, It's just not perfect for David. He let his family down as well. It was not the picture perfect Leave It to Beaver, the Cleaver family. That was not David's family. I mean, he had a son named Amnon that raped his own half-sister, and then he had another son, Absalom, that decided to kill Amnon for that rape that he did, and then Absalom decided he was going to try and take the kingdom away from David and start a rebellion against David and all these things. Man, that's not the Cleavers right there. That's not the thing that you're going to find on TV, but Absalom was tragically killed at the end of all these things, and so David's family let him down. That's not a good thing, but it's the truth. Well, David let his own people down, or David's own people let him down as well. I mean, I remember one time David, or you read in the Old Testament where David was in a battle and his people got so mad at him, they were ready to stone him. They didn't want to mess with David anymore. They said, man, give us another leader. You're not much of a leader. David got discouraged, and he had to encourage himself in the Lord. There's going to be problems. There's going to be trials. There's going to be tests. There's going to be situations and things in your life that are just not going to be perfect. And I hate to say it, but life is just messy. It's messy. Now the good news. Well, the good news is that we serve a God who is merciful and gracious and kind and long-suffering. He has a plan for our lives. He has a plan for your life and for my life. There's a reason why you're here today. There's a reason for the things that happen in your life, and it's because of God. He has set you on this path, and He has made a way for us to find relief and comfort in Him. The reality of life is that there is suffering and tragedy, and David found comfort and strength by going to God in prayer. Prayer is the God-ordained way for us to find strength and peace and comfort in this life. Do you find peace and comfort by praying to God? The Apostle Paul was writing to the church at Philippi, and they were being imprisoned for their faith. They were being persecuted for their faith, and they didn't know what to do, and they didn't know what was happening, but yet Paul wrote to them himself in prison. He wrote to them and he said, be careful for nothing, for nothing. That means don't be anxious or worried about things. Don't be full of care about things. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Now, there's a good benefit to that as well. He says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Do you want to have peace in your heart and in your life today? Whenever life gets messy and things go bad and you have trials and disappointments and failures in your life, which are going to happen to each and every one of us, what do we do when those things happen? We go to God in prayer. Very simple. And you find peace in those things. God will keep our hearts and minds, it says in Philippians 4, 6-7, through Christ Jesus. Now, we see David praying here in this psalm in the first 7 verses, and trouble was coming to him, and there's a pattern here that we can follow as we go to God in prayer and as we approach Him in prayer. How do we approach God in prayer in times of trouble? Whenever it might be your own fault, it might be a mess that you made, it might be an enemy that caused you problems. How do you go to God in prayer? What must we do when we go to God in prayer? Now, a lot of people, man, they'll just quote the Lord's Prayer, the so-called Lord's Prayer in Matthew 5 or 6, whatever chapter it is. They'll just repeat that. Hey, let's be a little bit more specific in our prayers. Let's be a little bit more methodical in our prayers. If we're going to go to God in prayer in times of trouble, we must be, number one, we must be transparent before God. Number two, we must trust God. Number three, we must be looking for truth when we go to God. And number four, we must count on the tenderness and the mercy of God. Those four things, very quickly. The first thing that we must do if we're going to go to God in prayer is there must be a transparency when we go to God and talk to Him. We must be transparent before God because God already knows our deepest, darkest secrets. The things that you are hiding and probably you don't even know about in the depths of your soul, God already knows about those things. He knows about your motives. He knows about your agendas. He knows about your desires. He knows about all of it. He knows your heart. He knows all. He knows your thoughts. He knows your intentions. Man alive, you're naked before God. There's nothing you can do about that. So why in the world would we try to hide something from God when we go to Him in prayer, try to hold something back, and I don't want to confess this, or I don't want to say anything to God? Man, you better confess it. You better just tell God about it. It says in verse number 1, "Unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul." Man, I'm bearing my soul before You, God. I'm telling You everything. I'm giving You all the ugliness. I'm giving You all the sin, all the transgressions. I'm telling You everything. I'm telling You my desires. I'm giving You my heart. Doesn't matter how bad it is. He doesn't come before God and say, "Hey, man, I'm not that bad." He doesn't do that. He doesn't say, "Well, I kind of sinned right there. I kind of messed up. I missed the mark a little bit." He doesn't do that. He doesn't say, I kind of messed up there. I fell short of my potential. He doesn't say that. No. No, He says, "I have transgressed Your law. I have sinned against You." It says in verse number 7, "Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions." He said, man, I did a lot of bad things back there in my youth. I did a lot of things I shouldn't have done. He says, please don't remember those things. I don't want you to remember those things. It says in verse number 11, "For Thy namesake, O Lord, pardon not mine iniquity, for it is great." Man, have you ever read Psalm 51, the penitential prayer of David after he had committed adultery with Bathsheba? My gosh, he lays it all out, man. He says, "Against Thee and Thee only have I sinned and committed this great sin." My goodness, he was transparent. Are you transparent with God whenever you go to Him in prayer? Or do you kind of hold things back? Man, you ought to give it all to God. Lay it all to God. Be transparent. Transparent, the definition of transparent means to having thoughts, feelings, or motives that are easily perceived or open to public scrutiny. That's how we ought to be before God. Just look at me, God, in everything. Doesn't matter how bad it is. God will accept you if you come before Him with an open face, being transparent before Him. There must be transparent. He was revealing everything to God. I read a story about an Italian duke who went on board a galley ship. And there's lots of slaves rowing over there, man. They were imprisoned or in slavery for things that they had done wrong. And he went by and he talked to each and every one of those slaves as they were oaring along. And a lot of them said, "Hey, man, I'm innocent of the charges, man. It was my mom's fault or it was my dad's fault or somebody framed me. Man, it wasn't my fault." They were rowing along, all slaves and condemned. And he finally got to this one young man. He said, "No, it was my fault. I'm the one that did it. I wanted some money, and I lusted after it, and I got it, and I stole it, and I'm justly here right now." And he said, "My goodness, you young rogue, what are you doing here amongst all these honest men?" He said, "Get up out of that seat and come on with me. You're set free." Let him go. Why did he let him go? Because he was honest. He wasn't trying to hide anything. He was being transparent before this man. Let him go. Did you know the freest man or woman in this room is the most transparent, the most honest person, whether it's ugly or it's pretty? Yeah. Amen. You find liberty by being transparent before God. We must be transparent. The Christian faith is a faith of transparency to God, admitting guilt and examining ourselves before Him. Man, be transparent before God in everything. The transparent heart looks upward to God. It looks inward to self-examination. It looks outward to our neighbors whom we have offended. It says in 1 John 1, 8 to 10, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." We say, man, I'm not that bad. I'm not a sinner. You're a liar. You're lying. But then he goes on to say, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's all we have to do. Just be honest before God. Doesn't matter how bad it is. Be transparent. We ought to be transparent with others. It says in James 5:16, confess your faults one to another. Amen. You sin against somebody, confess it to them. Tell them about it. Be transparent. We are called to be light in a dark world, and that's what transparency is. It's just telling the truth and being honest with God. And David says, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. What else do we have to do when we go to God in prayer? Number two, we must trust God. You know, I think that David trusted God because he was transparent with God. You trust the people that you are transparent with. And David trusted God, and he said, man, I want to be transparent with you, and I trust you with all of my secrets, with all of my desires. I trust you with those things. You want to go to God in prayer? You must trust him. You must trust him. It says in verse number 2 and 3, oh my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Amen. And he said, I trust in you, Lord. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without a cause. How do we know that David trusted God? Because he was willing to pray. Man, he had some problems in his life, and he said, man, I trust in God, and I'm going to go to him. That's how we know we trusted him. Did you know that prayer is an expression of your faith? Man, you trust in God. You talk to him. You tell him everything and you trust in him. Another reason that we know that David trusted God is because he was willing to wait. What does he say there in verse 2 to 3? Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. He said, man, I got some problems in my life. I got some trouble in my life, and I'm willing to wait on God to work and do something. I know that God is going to come through. I know that he will take care of these problems. I'm going to wait on him. He was willing to wait, and he's willing to pray. If we're willing to wait and pray on God, we will not be ashamed. You know who's going to be ashamed one of these days? The people that do not have faith in God, who do not pray to God. He says at the end of verse number 3, let them be ashamed which transgress without a cause. And they don't go to God, they do not trust God, and they're going to be ashamed one of these days. But we wait on God, and we trust in God. We will not be ashamed if we trust in God. And number 2, we will be strengthened if we wait on God. It says in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Man, you got something going on in your life that's not right. It's not working out the way that you thought it might work out. Man, just wait on God. Wait on him to work. He's going to do something in your life. He'll do something. So there must not only be transparency and trust, but there also must be truth. Our prayers must include a quest for the truth. It says in verse number 4 to 5, show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. And he says, man, show me thy paths. He's going to God and he said, man, I know that I messed up in the past. I know I've done some things that are wrong, but God, I want you to show me some things. I don't want to continue down the same way. I don't want to continue to make the same mistakes in my life or the same sins in my life. I want God to show me the truth. Your prayers, when you go to God, do you ask God for the truth? Man, show me the truth. He wanted his eyes opened. He wanted to understand the ways of God. He wanted God to be in the front leading. He said, man, show me the truth. You ask God for the truth when you pray to him. I read a story here recently. And by the way, we need the truth. I mean, we're living in a land, man, there's all kinds of opinions out there. There's all kinds of stuff out there that you could believe. Man, we need the truth. We need the truth. I was reading a story the other day about some Presbyterians, by the way. It was back in the 1600s. And there was not freedom of religion in Scotland at this time, and what was his name? King Charles II was trying to quell the uprising by these Presbyterians. They called them Covenanters. Covenanters, Presbyterian Covenanters. And he was trying to quell the uprising because they were wanting to meet, they were wanting to worship, they were wanting to preach, they were wanting to do all these things. And King Charles said, man, I don't want this. He's going to try and quell it. So he got his son together. I believe his son's name was James. And they got 5,000 men together and they were going to go battle against these Presbyterians. And they met at Bothwell Bridge. They were going to fight it out, man. These Covenanters, these Presbyterians, man, they had the rifles and everything, going to fight against the government, going to go against them. They got to shooting, but you know what? Man, they ran out of ammo. Didn't have any more ammo. They called, they wanted some more ammunition. You know what happened? They accidentally sent them a barrel of raisins instead of bullets. They had to give up. They had to quit. Man alive. You know what we need today? Instead of raisins, something sweet. We need the truth. We need the truth is what we need. Too many people are settling for something sweet instead of the truth. Man, they'll set the Bible aside and they'll get something else, something that makes them feel good, something that's, tastes sweet to them, and they'll take that instead of the truth. Man, they want their ears tickled at church instead of having the truth preached to them. They don't want the truth. Man, we need the truth today. And David said, man, I don't want to go without the truth. And I'm talking to the God of truth. So would you show me the truth? Would you lead me in the right path? When we go to God in prayer, my goodness, we need to be seeking the truth. We don't want God to lie to us. We want the truth. We must have the truth. The Bible tells us that we must have our loins girt about with truth in Ephesians chapter number 6. If we're going to engage in battle in this age, my goodness, we need the truth. But so many people are led by things other than the Word of God. My goodness, I'll go by their feelings. Well, I feel a certain way, so that's the way I'm going to go. Or they'll turn on the television and they'll follow a false teacher and they'll go that way. Or maybe they'll go by something else. They'll go by their own thoughts or desires or ambitions. They'll follow anything but the truth. And my goodness, they get into a bind. They get into a fix. Get the Word of God. Get the truth. The Bible tells us what the truth is. The written Word of God is the truth. Jesus Christ, His own testimony, says, "Thy Word is truth." That's why we promote Bible reading and study here in the church. That's why we promote Bible. That's why we promote church attendance. Get the truth. Get the truth. The preached Word of God is the truth. It tells us in James 1:21. The incarnate Word of God is the truth. Jesus Christ says in John 14:6, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life." That's the truth. You go to God and you ask God for the truth. The Spirit of God is the truth. The Spirit of God leads us and guides us in all truth. As a matter of fact, He's called the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit. He is the truth. It lives. He lives and abides on the inside of us. The third person of the Trinity dwells inside of every believer, the Holy Spirit. Number four, our prayers must be rooted in the tenderness of God. Not only transparency, trust, truth, and then tenderness. What do you mean by tenderness, Brother Fox? I mean mercy. Mercy. It says in verse 6 to 7, "Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and loving kindness." Oh, man. He said, "I know I've done some things that are wrong. I know I've done some things that are bad. And I know I'm in trouble." But David doesn't appeal to his own goodness. He didn't say, "I'm a pretty good guy." He says, "God, you're good. You're good, not me. I'm appealing to the mercy of God." Don't ever go to God and appeal to your own goodness. Appeal to God's goodness. Verse 6 to 7, he says, "Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have ever been of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions, according." That means in accordance with. According. "To thy mercy remember thou me for thy goodness." For thy goodness sake, O Lord. Man, we go to God in prayer. We go to God and we appeal to the goodness and the mercy of God. Anything outside of the mercy of God and the grace of God is superficial, it's self-serving, and it's self-righteousness. Anything outside of that. Don't ever appeal to your own goodness. Go to God's goodness. You think about people who needed help in the Bible. And one person comes to my mind. That was old blind Bartimaeus. I believe he's in Mark chapter 7. I know he's in Mark, but I think it's Mark chapter 7. Man, blind Bartimaeus needed something, didn't he? He was blind. He couldn't see anything. You know, blind Bartimaeus didn't go up to Jesus Christ and say, "Hey, I have a right to my sight, and I want it now. I have eyes, they don't work, and I want them now." He didn't do that, did he? No, he says, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me," doesn't he? "I don't deserve it, but I need it. Will you help me?" And he got it. He got mercy. We don't go to God and say, "Hey, I have a right to mercy. I have a right to grace. I have a right to good life. I have a right to all of these things. I deserve it. I'm a good person." You will get nothing. And I will get nothing. We don't go to God and demand our rights. That's the age in which we live in, is the rights of the people. Amen. Everyone wants their rights. That's not the way to get something from God. We appeal to the grace and the mercy of God. The Bible tells us that His mercies are new every morning and they endure forever. Man, you can't exhaust the mercy of God. You know what the problem is? The problem is that people reject it. They reject the grace and they reject the mercy of God, and they say, "Man, I'll go on my own. I'm good enough." And you're crazy. Don't ever do that. Never. Jesus Christ said, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." I won't do it. Man, take Jesus. Take Jesus every time. So we go to God in prayer, and this is the pattern for prayer. This is the way that we go, in transparency, trust, truth, and then in tenderness. Well, God may or may not change the situations in your life. It's up to Him. He's almighty. He's all-powerful. We don't dictate to God what happens. He might or He might not. But prayer may, in fact, end up changing your heart instead, and maybe that's just what needs to happen. I don't know. I hope that He does change your situation if you need it changed. I'm not saying He won't. But sometimes maybe we just need to have our heart changed. And sometimes that's what happens. When we go to God in prayer, you end up changing. And then God gives you the grace to go through the things that you're going through, the hard times in life, the troubles in life. So we go to God. That's the God-ordained way for us to reach God, to talk to Him. That's the way to reach God. God has promised to give us that grace that is sufficient for the trials that are overwhelming to people. They are overwhelming. They're way over your head, more than you can handle. And you got to have some grace. And He's there and He gives it to you. It's a mercy. But now I'd like to ask you a question. How is your heart toward God? When you go to God in prayer, what kind of heart do you bring before Him? Is it hard? You're trying to hide things from God? You're not being too transparent? You're not wanting the truth. You're wanting God to line up with your preconceived ideas or desires. Is that the way it is? You'd rather God give you a lie to make you feel better. Is that the way we go to God in prayer? And or are you appealing to your own goodness? Like, "Hey, I'm a pretty good person, man." Don't go that way. Don't do that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, God, for all that You've given to us. We thank You that You've given us a way to speak to You. I pray that You'd help us as we go to You in prayer, Father, to have the right kind of heart and the right kind of attitude as we do approach You. Father, lead us and guide us into the truth. Help us to have the correct kind of heart and attitude. Lord, we love You and pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.